When we come to 122, it shows very clearly as we ascend, as we grow in our spiritual life, the Lord will show you the church. There are a lot of people who says, we don't have to talk about the church. We just want to talk about Christ. But the whole Bible shows us it's not just about Christ. It's about Christ and the church. And our brother showed us the verses in Ephesians. Christ loves the church and even gave himself for the church. So, to see the church is definitely not a small thing. And I'm quite confident and sure that if a person really touches the Lord in a genuine way and grow and mature in life, he will see the church. If you don't see the church, and you don't even understand, you didn't even care for it, that shows, and that is a proof, that your experience of Christ is very limited. Right? If you just tell me, John, I just want to know you, I don't care about your wife. You think I'll be happy? You think I'll be happy? I want to introduce my wife to you. Here's my wife. Oh, I don't care about her. I just want to know you. How about that? Jake, if I tell you, I just want to know you. I don't care about who is she? Forget about her. What would you say?
That's the better half. You're missing out on.
That's the better half? I don't think so. I think you're the better half. According to the whole Bible, at the very end of the Bible, the angels told John, come, I will show you the bride of the Lamb.
Yes.
Isn't it true? This is what the Lord is after. His bride. The bride of the Lamb. At the very end is the center of attraction. It says here in the Psalms also, the joy of the whole earth. The joy of the whole earth. It's the Lord's masterpiece. How can we say we don't care about the church life? This is not right. This is definitely not right. So the Lord will have to help us. The Lord must save us, not just for the sake of saving, but the salvation has a goal, and that goal is for God's building work.
Yes.
For the building up of his beloved church.
Amen.
There is a book called the Song of Songs in the Bible that talks about how much the Lord loves the church and seeking for his bride. So, in a way, the whole Bible is a love storybook.
Yes, it is.
You may not like to hear that, but it's the... It describes how much the Lord is looking for his bride. In fact, right in the very beginning in Genesis, after God created Adam, immediately he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Isn't it wonderful? You know why the Lord said that? Is it for Adam's sake? No, it's written in the book of Romans chapter 5. Adam is a picture of him, of Christ who is to come.
Yes.
And so for God to say it's not good for Adam to be alone, he is just talking about himself. It's not good for Christ to be alone. He needs Eve. I dare not say he is the better half, but... But the Lord wants a glorious church, not just any church. He wants the church. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us the church that is holy, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, a glorious church. This is what the Lord is after. You know, many people just say, okay, one city, one church. But one city, one church, what kind of a church? Is it a glorious church? A holy church without blemish? A church that corresponds to this glorious head? We need to feel what is in God's heart. And the very fact it says, I was glad. So it's not just seeing a vision, but at this point, you touch something that makes you happy. It's not just Christ, it's not just salvation. Yes, you're glad that you're saved, but you're even more glad when you see, wow, it's the bride, the church that the Lord is after.
Amen.
And if you see that, you're glad. It's not just, we are right and they are wrong and everybody else is wrong, we are right. Forget about who is right, who is wrong. It's not a matter of you're wrong, I'm right, and who is right and who is wrong. It's about God's choice. It is what our God is after. Even already in the Old Testament days, hear Israel, your maker is your husband. What a wonderful word.
Yes.
What? God is a husband? Who is the bride? Israel. Israel. Right. So, at the very end, we all have attended a lot of wedding, right? Jake, in your wedding, who was the center of attraction? I have never heard a song at a wedding, here comes the bridegroom. All dressed in tuxedo. But it's always, here comes the bride. The bride must be the center of attraction. Right? I never heard her in a wedding, where's the bridegroom? Who's the bridegroom? I always heard, where's the bride? Everybody's anticipating seeing the bride. Seeing the bride. At the end of the Bible, the angel will tell you, come, Timo, I'll show you the bride. No, 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 I don't care about the bride. I want to see the bridegroom. Well, you've been seeing the bridegroom all these years. Now you have to see the bride. It's the bride. It's the church. How can we not care about the church? So it says, I was glad. When you hear about the church, how do you feel? Are you glad? Oh,
yes.
Okay, I'm in the church. Where are you? Well, no, where else? I'm in the church. Goodness, is that your attitude? Why did you come here? Oh, well.
Nowhere else to go.
Nowhere else. Is that just why you're in the church?
No.
No, no, no. The church must be something that attracts your heart. I was glad when they say unto me, the church. So when a church was mentioned, your heart must leap.
Amen.
You mention a church to the Lord will say, okay, the church. I don't think the Lord will have such an attitude.
No.
In fact, the Lord is waiting for his bride to be ready for his coming. If you ask me, why is it the Lord is not coming yet? Well, what is he coming for if the bride is not ready?
Yeah.
Right. We all know Revelation chapter 19. Oh, behold, the bride has made herself ready. That was exciting. That is what actually everybody should be waiting for. But except we, the Christians, though, we don't care about it. We didn't care about the bride. So that's why for us, the church, I don't know what a church is. It's just something right, something scriptural. They're wrong, we are right. Today, I don't even want to feel that. You're wrong, we are right. I don't care about that. Because the church is way beyond. It is God's choice. It is what the Lord loves the most. It's even hard for me to explain to anybody. 40 years ago, oh yeah, one city, one church, we are standing on the ground of one. My goodness, I saw so many standing on the ground, they perish on the ground. It's not just the ground. The church is more than just the ground of the church, the ground of oneness. The church is really something that is beloved of the Lord. Something that our Lord loves so much. So this is why the psalm is so wonderful. And yet, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? Because it's in the process of being built. There's still so much problem. Even the last 40 years going through, there's so much problem. Why? Because we still need to be saved, to be saved from all these things, the wild nature, from our dark nature right there. The flesh hates peace. Can you imagine, how can you build up a group of fleshly Christians fighting each other who hate peace? That's why there's been division upon division upon division until this very day. You see division every day. Every day there's been fighting. Every day there's been a new group forming up. The formations of new groups and then fighting again. And then yeah, here comes somebody, I am the apostle. You have to hear me and follow me and... Oh, my goodness. And there's so much competition and. There's been endless fighting and divisions upon divisions. It's a shame. It's a shame to the Lord. Right. So today, we need to pray, Lord, build up your church. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For the sake of our brethren, our friends, and for the sake of the Lord. He loves Jerusalem. It's his dwelling place. And today, as a Christian, even, if you met somebody, oh, you're a Christian, what is the next question? Where do you go to church?
Yeah.
Where do you go to church? Are you a U.S. citizen?
Yes.
You are?
I am.
Which U.S.?
One U.S.
Only one U.S.? Nobody asks you which U.S.
Right? Right.
But why? Are you Christian? Ah, yes. The next question. Which church? Do you think that's a glorious question? That's a shameful question. Shameful. Which church? How many church does my Lord have? Are you married, Jake? Which wife? You're going to slap my face if I ask you. Wouldn't you? You would say, who do you think I am? And she would really get mad at me and kick me here. Out. Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd be surprised if you're happy about that question. Which church? It's a shameful question to ask which church, what do you think our Lord is? No. You see, that shows that we, the believers, we have no feeling at all. We do not sympathize with our Lord Jesus. You think the Lord Jesus felt very glorious? He has so many different kinds of churches. No, it is shameful. It is shameful. So the Lord must open our eyes to see the principle of Jerusalem, as our brother brought up in Deuteronomy chapter 12. At least 5 or 6 times it says there, you go to the place where the Lord your God has chosen. You have no choice. Nobody has a choice. It says here where all the tribes must go there, whether you're in the north. You say, it's unfair, it's so far away. It's not a matter of fair or unfair. It's a matter of God's choice. We have no choice. So, praise the Lord for such a wonderful vision here. So we must ascend. We must ascend. And the Lord didn't wait so long to mention Jerusalem. Here, it was mentioned in not a solid way, although verses 3 to 5 shows you what Jerusalem should be. It is a city compact together. It's just a description of what it should be, but it was not yet. It was not yet throne set up. A testimony of Israel. My goodness, you don't see that today, did you? You see the visions. Do you see real judgment? No, you don't see. Anybody can do whatever he likes. But in Jerusalem, no, it's different. It's different. So here is a vision. Not until you go up and you ascend further and experience more and went up these wonderful steps that at the end you can behold how wonderful. Right. For all the saints now, all the brothers are dwelling together. Your feet is in and sometimes you're out. My feet are standing within your gates. I heard so many people in the beginning quite happy. After a year, they're out. Yeah. In and out. Today, your feet is in. Tomorrow, your feet is out. Easily moved. Didn't it say, the Lord will preserve you. Your feet will not be moved. No, what I meant to say, really, I've seen so many people come in and out. But you have to be built in. You have to be built in. Once you're built in, just like a wall, just like that pillar here, it's built in, it won't go out. It's not good for that pillar to leave. The whole roof will collapse. Well, the chair, you can move it. You can move in and out. You can move it. But that pillar, you cannot. It's built in. It's compacted. Built in. Praise the Lord. So may the Lord open our eyes more and more to see the preciousness of Jerusalem.
Amen.
By the way, of course, everybody knows it's called the City of Peace. Jerusalem. The word shalom is a peace. So if we are a group of people who hate peace, there's no building. It's not possible. There's no space here, no place here in Jerusalem for those who hate peace. You're in the wrong place if you hate peace. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are in such a place. The church life is a place of peace.
Amen.
Our Lord is called the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
And we are the children of peace. And blessed are the
peacemakers,
for they shall be called the children of God.
Amen.
If you're fighting and fighting, I don't know whether I should call you children of God or not. But it says, blessed are the peacemakers, not troublemakers.
Yeah.
Don't be a troublemaker in Jerusalem. But nevertheless, we'll try to convert you into a peacemaker. After a little while, hopefully. Right. But praise the Lord for such a wonderful vision. And may our heart just love Jerusalem. Do good for Jerusalem. We wish the best for Jerusalem.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.